Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe resigns as his health deteriorates. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Mr. Abe, who last week became the country's longest-serving prime minister, said today he'll step aside as a chronic intestinal disease worsens. Questions about the prime minister's health swirled after he made two hospital visits in the last 2 weeks. In a press conference about an hour ago, Mr. Abe said he decided if he isn't feeling his best, he shouldn't continue his job.
Even though I have 1 year to go in my tenure, and with other challenges that have not been addressed yet, and amid the coronavirus outbreak, I decided to step down as the Prime Minister. I would like to send my apologies to the people of Japan.
The 65-year-old leader said he has ulcerative colitis and needs to receive continuing treatment. The disease cut short his first term in 2007, but he came back to power in 2012 with a plan to revive the world's third biggest economy. Dubbed Abenomics, it featured a three-pronged approach of higher government spending, central bank stimulus, and structural economic reforms. While some have criticized the effectiveness of the strategy, Seijiro Takeshita, a professor at the University of Shizuoka, believes Mr. Abe's economic legacy will be viewed favorably.
He did a great job, I think, at least, in recovering Japan from the horrible, horrible, nightmarish management by the previous government, DPJ. And at least he was able to display a resurgence of the Japanese exporters, which is most important, I think. Of course, you know, there's a lot of criticism, but the fact of the matter is, if he didn't do many things right, he wouldn't be the longest prime minister for 7 years and 8 months.
Growth was already starting to weaken before the pandemic hit. Public debt is growing, the population is aging, so the big question for Abe's successor is, does he continue this Abenomics track, or will he or she make a new pitch to ignite economic growth there?
I would say more of the latter. I mean, Mr. Abe did a good job in Abenomics, but you know, we need more, as you connotate. We need to revamp our immigration policy. We also need to realign our relationship. And this is getting tricky because we don't know what's going to happen in November in the United States, our biggest, you know, partner, both on security terms and, you know, all others. So that is a bit of a tricky game because we're getting a lot of geopolitical tensions, especially from China, extreme aggression. And therefore, our security is very much at risk, and we realize that. And that is very much closely connected with the economy as well. So we need to realign the relationship or reaffirm the relationship in the Western Hemisphere. But the leader of Western Hemisphere, as we all know, is very unstable. So a lot of it will be taking a wait-and-see attitude, I think.
Who are the people in the running, do you think, to be the next prime minister?
The first name that comes to mind is Mr. Ishiba, who was the arch rival of Mr. Abe almost 8 years ago. We've got people like Kishida, the ex-foreign minister. We've got Khan. We have a lot of, I would say, major figures in the government. Could also be that resurgence of Mr. Taro Aso, who used to be the prime minister, who's now the vice minister, who might be chaining, you know, the process as well. All these things are still much in ambiguity because it's rather early stages.
Professor Seijiro Takeshita, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Mr. Abe will remain in office until a successor is chosen, but our correspondents say there's no obvious candidate to follow Mr. Abe's most recent 8-year tenure. Meanwhile, European stocks are a little changed today, checking financial markets. Japan's Nikkei was down as much as 2%, while the safe haven yen moved higher. The U.S. dollar has weakened against a basket of currencies after Fed Chief Jay Powell outlined his new inflation strategy yesterday. Analysts worry higher inflation and ultra-low interest rates could make U.S. assets less attractive longer term. Dogs barking, dishes mounting, and a growing number of Zoom meetings. Sound familiar? The strain of working during the pandemic has taken a toll on so many of us. So the BBC's Monica Miller set out to find the best stress busters.
This is how many of us are conducting business these days. Hours of video conference calls and more emails have replaced human interaction with our colleagues. And for those who are still working from home, it's hard to stay focused when you're experiencing cabin fever. And that's why some bosses are investing in new tools to protect their workers' mental health.
Well, there ain't no planes a-flying, I'm going round the bend.
Stephen Keyes works at an IT company. That was him playing the guitar of a parody of Folsom Prison Blues on a virtual talent show. He manages more than 200 people across Asia, the Middle East, and Africa, where mental health can be a taboo topic in some cultures, as well as online concerts. He set up counseling services to help his staff cope.
It can help improve performance by keeping everyone focused and connected on what's important. I think it can help ultimately long-term reduce staff turnover. So all those things are great, but fundamentally it's the right thing to do.
But some people have been seeking out more unconventional health options like energy healing. A spiritual guidance counselor in Singapore who goes by the name Gypsy Jenny has seen demand for her services jump.
This is a golden healing stone to use for the solar plexus.
For Gypsy Jenny, business is up as much as 20% since Singapore went under lockdown in April. She saw the boost in clients after she advertised her virtual healing services on the internet.
When I did that, actually more people come to me. In fact, I have at least 3 readings every day, about 4 or 5 distant healing every day or through the website.
Noreen Teo books an in-person session with her on a regular basis. She says the soothing sensation she gets from the crystals and oils helps relieve the stress from her job as a senior executive at a utility company.
It really helps you to calm your mind, give you focus to kind of make the right decisions, yeah, even at work and even across all your life.
Finding comfort in spiritual guidance or a discovery of hidden talents may not remove all the stress from daily life, but in challenging times, they are welcome distractions to keep workers on the right track. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Monica Miller for Marketplace.
My best stress fighter? The weekend. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.